So anyway, good morning and welcome to Journey Church. Tell your neighbor, good morning, okay? This morning what we're doing is we're in week three of our current series that we're calling The One That Jesus Loves. Okay, I got a job today. I've asked them to allow me to advance the slides on my own. Isn't that cool? So let's see how this works. It works, okay. I love it. I love power, okay? Power, let's go. I want these things changed on my timing, okay? It's all about me, okay? But anyway, The One Jesus Loves, and really it's taken from a book called The One Jesus Loves, and it was a book written by a guy named Robert Crosby. So I just want to make it clear from the very beginning that these thoughts aren't original with me, but I've read the book, I've taken these thoughts, I've made them personal in a way that I can share them with some of the most wonderful people in the world, you guys, okay? So I just want to let you know this is all for us. It's new and it's fresh. So in this book, what Robert does is he basically looks into the six circles of relationship, six circles of relationship that surrounded Jesus Christ while he was walking here on planet Earth, when he was involved in his ministry. And I want to let you know each one of these circles is a circle that brings us closer and closer in our journey towards the center, our journey towards Jesus, okay? So this is what I want to say to you today, and I want you to listen very careful. Regardless of where you're at right now, and God knows exactly where you're at right now, it's so cool, but regardless of where you are right now in your relationship with Jesus Christ, I want to let you know he's calling you and me, each one of us, he's calling us closer and closer to him. And I just want to share with you today that Jesus wants to have greater intimacy, and he wants to have greater relationship with each and every one of us to the point where it's going to change our world. And as a result of our world being changed, we change the world in which we live, okay? So 2 weeks ago, what we did is we looked at this first circle. We looked at the crowds, and we said this about the crowds. The crowds were literally made up of probably tens and tens of thousands of people. And that basically, the crowds represent those people who were coming. And they were coming for two reasons. They were coming because they wanted to see Jesus for the first time. They maybe heard from a neighbor. They heard all the buzz that was going on. And they wanted to come and see for themselves. They wanted to see the miracles. They wanted to see the signs and the wonders. They wanted to listen to the teachings of Jesus because he taught with such authority, okay? And it was in the crowds that many people got their first glimpse of Jesus, okay? So what I want you to see here is there's tens and tens of thousands of people that are coming. And I mean, they couldn't find a place to contain all the people that wanted to come and see Jesus, the crowds. And we ended the message that week with this word of encouragement, and that is the crowds are a great place to start. We all start our journey with Jesus in the crowd, but how many people know the crowd is not a good place to stay? It's not a good place to stay. It's not a good place to camp out. Jesus never intended you just to come and look and listen, but he wants you to move closer because Jesus is calling every one of us closer. Yes, we start looking and watching, but that's not just enough to stay on that outer circle. So what we did 2 weeks ago, we looked at the 5,000, and we said the 5,000 represents those who follow Jesus to places where they're receiving from him. And remember, back last week, we talked about how the 5,000, what did they do? They received healing, and they received what? They had a need for bread and fish, and Jesus fed them. And the whole point of the 5,000 is just to let every one of us know that it's okay to have a relationship with Jesus Christ where you bring your needs, where you bring your hurts, where you bring those things in your life where no one else cares. You can bring them to Jesus, and that's what the 5,000 represents, is that you have a relationship where Jesus, you know that he cares for you and that you can bring all your needs to him. So today what we're going to do is we're going to look at the 70, okay? By the way, look at those three real quick, the crowds, the 5,000, the 70s. One thing you're going to realize right there is this. Each crowd, as we get closer to the center, each crowd, as we get closer to Jesus, does what? It gets smaller. It gets smaller. We start with thousands of people, tens of thousands. We go down to 5,000, which was actually with women and children, probably about 20,000. But now today, we're going to get even smaller as we get closer to Jesus. We're going to look at the 70, okay? In this circle, and I want you to listen very carefully to what I have to say here for the next 10 seconds. This is the circle where you and I move from observation. Everybody say that word together, observation. We're going to move from a place in the 70 where we go from observation, where we move into this circle called participation. And you're here on the right Sunday, by the way. We're moving to a place of participation. So the 70, and by the way, some of your Bibles, when we open them to read them here in just a few minutes, are going to say the 72. By the way, that's all about the translators, how they translated the story. Was it 70 or 72? Don't get all mixed or confused by that. It's just the translators saw it a little differently, okay? So some translations will say the 72. Some will refer to it as the 70. It's the same thing. And this is the people that follow Jesus to a place where they're going to begin to work. They're going to begin to serve. These are the people that say, hey, we're going to get involved. We're going to get engaged. We're going to get engaged with what Jesus is doing here. So if you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn to this passage right here. If you don't have your own Bible, there's a Bible right there in the pew in front of you. And that's a rather lengthy passage this morning, so this is what I'm going to do. I'm just going to read just probably about four verses word for word, and then what I'm going to do is I'm going to paraphrase the remaining verses, okay? And I want to let you know my paraphrase is right on. We'll be good to go. So is everybody ready? Say, we're ready. So Lord, prepare our hearts for your word. It's a seed being sown, and I pray that the seed would find a good soil in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so here we go. Luke chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, I'll read word for word. It says, the Lord now chose 72. So this translation says 72, 70, the same thing. He chose 72 other disciples, and he sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and the places that he planned to visit. And then he gave them these instructions. He said to these groups, he said, hey guys, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So here's what you need to do. Pray to the Lord who's in charge of the harvest, and you need to ask him, God, send more workers into the field. By the way, that's what we'll be doing tonight in prayer meeting. We'll be praying, Lord, send more workers into the field. So the harvest is great, the workers are few. I want to let you know, if you're new to church, if you're new to Christianity, you're new to the Bible, the harvest is not a reference to corn. It's not a reference to wheat or beans. The harvest that Jesus is talking about, he's talking about those who still need to hear about him, those who still need to hear about the kingdom. And the need is great. There's still a lot of people that need to hear about Jesus. But here's the issue, as was the issue back here, there's just a few people. And we need more workers. We need more people to step it up. We need more people to get in the game, more people to engage in what God's doing, okay? So let's continue to look at the sending instructions that Jesus gives to the 70. I'll paraphrase these. If you want to look in your Bible, that's cool. Verse 3, Jesus makes it clear that, hey, this could be dangerous. This could be dangerous. And what does he say here is, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. It's going to be dangerous. There's going to be times it's not going to be easy. Verse 4, he gives us two instructions. He says, hey, when you go, I want you to travel light. He says, hey, you don't need to take money. You don't need to take a traveler's bag. You don't need to take an extra pair of sandals. You don't even need to take your cell phone. Just go, okay? That's what Jesus is saying here. And then in the second part of verse 4, he says something very important. He says, hey, when you go, I want you to stay focused, because there's going to be a lot of interruptions. There's going to be a lot of things that keep you from doing my work. And if you get caught up in all these other things, it's going to prevent you from working. If the church needs to hear a message, what a message that is, okay? Verse 5, he says, hey, when you go into somebody's home, because they don't have hotels, but you're going to go into these cities, and when you go there, you're going to stay in people's houses. And he says, hey, when you go there, make sure you're a good guest. And what does a good guest do? A good guest speaks blessing. A good guest speaks peace over those families that let you into their house. So make sure you're not a complainer, a whiner. Be a good guest. And then he says in verse 7, I think this is very important. He says, hey, when you go, be content. He said, hey, this is how it's going to go. You're going to go and you're going to stay in people's houses. Be content. Don't try to jump to somebody else's house because they have better food over there, or they have a nicer home, or they have faster internet service, or they have the NFL package. No, just go to the first house and stay there and enjoy it. Don't be jumping around. Be content. It's just a good way to live. And then verse 9, he says, when you get there, this is what I want you to do. I want you to heal the sick. Can you imagine these 70 people saying, Jesus, we're going to heal the sick? And he's saying, yeah, when you go into those cities, you're going to heal the sick. And here's the message. I want to make sure you teach this message, and that is that the kingdom of God is near. That's the message I want you to preach. And then look at verses 10 through 12. He says, I need you to be prepared for something you may not like. And here's what you may not like. You may be rejected. How many people know that when you come with the good news and when you tell people about Jesus and you get involved in his work, not everybody's going to be thrilled that you're there? Amen? There's going to be people who are upset. There's going to be people, because we're in a spiritual battle against darkness and light, and we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and power. There's going to be rejection. So guys, be ready for rejection. By the way, can I say to all of us here today that want to do something great for God, be ready for rejection. Not everybody's going to be your biggest fan. Not everybody's going to say, go for it. Yeah, do it. Start that Bible study. Pray for that person. Not everybody's going to be as excited as you are, but that's okay. That's just the way it is. Is everybody cool with that? There's going to be rejection. Say, yeah, rejection. Now, yeah, nobody's saying that, by the way, okay? So here's what happens. Here's what happens. They go out. The 70 go out, or 72. They go out in teams of 35 or 36, and they begin to do the work of the Lord. They go to these places where Jesus is calling them to do, and guess what? They come back. We're not sure how long of time gap occurs here, but they do. They come back, and look at verse 17. They give a report. It says in verse 17, when the 72 disciples returned, check this out, they were joyful. Can everybody say that word together, joyful? Okay, say it joyfully, okay? Can you do me a favor? Everybody say joyful. So they're coming back and they're pumped. They're like, woo, yay God. Okay, they're joyful and they report to Jesus. And look at what they say to Jesus, Lord, even the demons obeyed us when we used your name. So they're all excited that they were able to be used by God to cast out demons. So they're excited that they're able to see these, what I would call supernatural manifestations. They're being used by God. And to them, that was astonishing. They were just like blown away. Wow, God really used us. But I think it's very interesting how Jesus responds to their excitement. Have you ever read this before? Look at Jesus' response to their excitement. But Jesus says, hey guys, don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. But he says, hey, rejoice. And here's why you should rejoice. Because your names are registered in heaven. And really what he's saying is don't miss out on what's most important. Okay? And I love how Eugene Peterson, he translates this verse in the Message Bible. He says, don't rejoice because what you do for God, but rejoice for what God's done for you. And I just think that's so cool. He's saying, hey, rejoice because God has given you the gift of salvation. Can anybody here today rejoice because you have salvation? Anyone? Rejoicing because what God's done for you. And that's what he's saying here. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Okay? By the way, your name can be written today in heaven simply by accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. The Bible says the moment we ask Jesus into our hearts that our names are written in the book of life. And I tell you what, regardless of what else is going on in your life, good, bad, ugly, wonderful, you can always rejoice in the fact that, you know what, this life isn't all there is. Aren't you thankful for that? The older I get, I realize, God, thank you that this life isn't all there is. Because if this life is all there is, to be honest with you, I'm kind of depressed. Anybody else? There's days that are great. And I'm an optimistic person, I think, by nature. But I tell you what, there's some days I just look and say, Lord, if this is all there is, we're pitied. But I tell you what, the good news is this isn't all there is. Amen? the good news is if your name is written in the book of life, you're going to spend eternity in the presence of God. Amen? And it's not going to be boring. It's not going to get old. It's going to get better and better for eternity. So let's move on and let's look into this passage just a little deep, because here we're introduced to a group that were called the 70. So everybody, let's just say that together, the 70. So let's talk about the 70. Who are the 70? Because I want us to, my goal here today is to encourage each of us to move into this group. You say, Mike, what's your objective here today? My objective is very simple. I want you to move in from the crowds, from the 5,000, and I want you to move into the group of the 70. So who are the 70? The 70 are those who experienced the excitement of the crowds. They were there. They saw Jesus do crazy things. They heard the teachings. These were people that were a part of the 5,000. They were able to eat the bread. They were able to eat the fish. They were able to be a part of that miracle. But listen to this, and I want you to listen very carefully. We're not going to be long. I'm preaching shorter and shorter as I get older, right? Amen? But one day, can everybody say that together? Eureka. They have an eureka moment. One day they just have an eureka moment, or put it this one, one day they say, it's like this. One day a light comes on in their life. By the way, that's what I want to see happen today. I want to see one of these three things happen in you today. I want this to happen in you, I want this to happen in you, and I want this to happen in you. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd make that happen. Amen? And this is what I want to see happen. These are the people, yes, they were a part of all those great times, but these are the people, suddenly one day the light comes on, and they realize that up to this point, their relationship with Jesus is all one-sided. Up to this point, their relationship of Jesus has all been about we're receiving. It's all about a one-sided relationship with Jesus, okay? And then one day the light comes on, and I'm not sure how it happened. Maybe it was the power of the Holy Spirit. Maybe it was just they were growing up and becoming mature adults. And one day they realize that, you know what, this one-way relationship isn't the way it's supposed to be. And they begin to realize that if I'm going to have a healthy and growing relationship with Jesus, it's just not about me always getting like a spoiled child, getting. But there comes a day where I step it up. And it comes a day when I begin to go on to the giving side, where I begin to give. As I receive, I give. As I receive, I give. Because how many people know there's not many relationships, if any relationship you'll ever be on, that works well when it's one-sided? All you married people, I'm going to give you some free marital counseling this morning, free of charge, and that is, if you're in a relationship in marriage where it's all about you getting, you get the point? But there's never giving. How many people know sooner or later that relationship's going to what? Suffer. Does anybody agree with me? You guys are looking at me like, what's he talking about? He must have a crazy relationship. No, I'm just like you. And the truth is, in any relationship, I don't care if it's with a friend, I don't care if it's with your parents, I don't care if it's with your children, if you're always about getting, it's all about me, what can I get out of that relationship, I want to let you know that sooner or later that relationship's going to suffer, if it hasn't suffered already, and it's going to die. I remember one piece of marriage advice I got from my father right before I got married, and he said, Mike, he said, marriage is not 50-50. He told me marriage is what? 100-100, where both sides are giving and both sides are taking. Both sides are giving, both sides. That's a healthy relationship. And I'm smart enough to think this week is, if that's true with us, with one another, don't you think that's true with us, with Jesus Christ? That it's not just enough for us to always be getting. Jesus, what are you going to do for me? Jesus, don't you care about my problem? Yes, he does care about your problem. Yes, he wants to help you with your problem. But how many people know there's a time where, and I hate to use this word, there's a time where we grow up. And there's a time where we mature. And there's a time where we realize, Jesus, I don't want this relationship to be all about me getting. I want to walk into a closer relationship with you where I'm beginning to give and beginning to participate, okay? So the 70 that we're talking about here this morning, they recognize the importance of following Jesus to places where they're going to serve. They're following Jesus to places where they're going to begin to invest and to give. See, these people understand that it's not just enough to be in the stands and yelling at what's going on in the field. It's not even enough to be on the sidelines. But these people realize there's a time where you got to get in the game. You got to put in some sweat equity. You got to put in some work. You got to put in some time, energy. And you got to begin to live your life not to get. That's how young people live. That's how immature people live. But it comes to a time where we live to give. We live to give. We live to serve. We live to say, Jesus, how can you use me? How can I be a part of your team? How can I be in the game? Jesus, who do you want me to touch? And so what I want to do real quick is I want to talk about three ways that we can give. Three ways we can give. Number one, by offering our time. Our time. How many people have time? Some people are like, not much. I really don't have much time. I really don't. But I did the math this week. I think 24 times 7 equals what? Quickly, 168 hours. I want to let you know, all of us have 168 hours. 168 hours. How you doing today? What's people's first response? I'm busy, meaning I don't have time. All my time is accounted for. May I be a pastor that wants to also parent you with love and affection, and that is, make sure you have enough time, margin in your life where you have enough time to give back in your relationship to Jesus. Amen? Make sure that you find margin in your life where you have time to give back to the one who died for you on the cross, okay? Just give back, and there's a lot of ways that you can give back. By the way, our big four, we're asking people to come to church, class, journey, but look, we're saying, hey, find a place to serve. We're asking everyone here, this is your church family, we're asking everyone, will you find a place where it's not just about you getting, what's this church going to do for me, this what Mike's message better be better next week, there better be better food out in the foyer, there better be all these different programs, but what would it be like if you said, hey, how can I give of my time? And there's all these opportunities, and there's big opportunities, there's small opportunities, there's opportunities that take only an hour, there's opportunities that take 2 hours. I just want to encourage you, could you give back and give to Jesus by giving of your time? What are you doing time-wise? And I don't want to be just all about me, meaning I pastor this church, so give your time to this church. No, may I say, how about giving your time to others? Maybe somebody that doesn't even know Jesus. Showing them Jesus, serving them, meeting their needs. Maybe it's your wife, your husband, your spouse. Just give of your time. Another way you can give is by giving of your talents and gifts. Everyone in here has talents. Everyone in here has gifts. Every one of you have talents and gifts given to you natural. Also, when you became a Christian, you were given spiritual gifts, spiritual talents. Every one of us has these things. And I actually like to connect that with the first one, time. And I have found out that when people serve using their talents and their gifts, we see amazing results. For example, Val, where you at, Val? Just raise your hand real quick. Val, stand up real quick. We're going to give you a shout out this morning. Tomorrow night, let's hear it for tomorrow night. You don't even know what's going to happen yet. Thank you, Val. You may be seated. Tomorrow night, we've been talking about Financial Peace University. Financial Peace University, and it starts tomorrow night. We thought we would have a good class if we had 10 people. 10 people would be success. How many people she reported this morning? We have 28. 28 people that are coming to Financial Peace University. You know what that is? That's somebody giving of their time, and that's someone using the talents. Val has an organizational talent, a leadership talent. She's doing the right thing. We see great results. And it's true of all of us. Just find out where your talent is, your giftings, and begin to plug into those things here in the local church, in your world, in your place of influence. And you'll be amazed with what God will do if you say, God, here's my time, here's my talents, I give it to you. And then here's the one pastors always have to talk about. You can give of your resources. And everybody said, I love that one. No one. But how many people know we can do great things for Jesus if people would just give more of their resources? And I'm going to say something that's going to make my wife upset. Should I go there, Lord? You know, the biblical pattern is tithing. People should give 10%, and that's how the work of the Lord goes forward, right? Is that God's plan or no? I'm going to say something, and I don't even know if I should say this, but I'm just going to say it the way I see it sometime. I think some people are afraid to do that. They're afraid. They're like, already I can't even make ends meet, and you're asking me to give to God's work. And this is what's going to make Heather mad. This is what I believe is on my heart this morning. What if everyone in this room at least said no to zero? What if everybody in this room said no to zero, meaning I won't give nothing, but I'll give at least something? Don't you love talking about that? You ought to see you guys as, you're getting all fidgety. But what, yes, God's plan is tithing. Absolutely, God's plan is tithing. That's his word. But what if everyone just said, you know what? I'm not there by faith yet. I'm not there by obedience yet. But what if everybody said, at least I'm going to do something? Is anybody with me this morning? I feel like I'm on an island and the winds are blowing and I'm about ready to get blown away, okay? But what if all of you, what if everybody here said no to zero? I'm going to give time. I'm going to give talents. I'm going to give resources. I'm just going to refuse to just be young and not grow up and mature, but I'm going to give my time. I'm going to give talents. I'm going to give something of my resources. What if everybody just said, I determined today that I'm going to say no to zero? How many people know some crazy good things would happen? Come on. How many people know some crazy great things would happen? So right now, I want you to go home today and talk to your spouse and say, why are we saying no to zero? Okay, let's end this service now. It's not going the way I anticipated. But what if we did? What if we all said, you know what? I've been getting. Jesus has been so good to me. My salvation is eternal. It's secure. I've been filled with the Holy Spirit. I got all these wonderful things. Jesus has done so much for me. I have so many blessings. How many people can say, I am blessed? About 10 of you can say, I am blessed. How about the rest of you? Are you blessed this morning? And it says every good, every perfect thing that comes into our life. Do you know where that came from? It came from God. And now what if we just said, okay, God, as a response, you know what I want to do is I want to grow up and I want to say, you know what, God, I'm ready to start giving back. I want to be on your team. I want to be a part of what you're doing. I want to be engaged in the mission that you want to bring salvation to the world. God, I want to be a part of what you're doing. God, sign me up. I want to be a part of the 70. Let's increase it to another group of 70. In our city, what would happen? So three closing thoughts quickly. Number one, we're not asking you to give and to serve so you earn your salvation. Has everybody got that? We're not talking about we're doing these things to earn our salvation. How many people know your salvation has already been determined? Amen? Look at the verse. God saved you by his, everybody together, grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It's a gift, Bubba, from God. And then he says in verse 9, salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. I mean, we don't get salvation because of good works. Here's why we want to give. We want to give as an expression of saying, God, it's amazing. Your gift has been so amazing. You saved me from my sins. You brought me from death to light, from darkness to light. Jesus, look at what you've done to me. As a result, I want to grow up and say, hey, you can count on me. I'm going to do something. So number closing thought number two is this. We need to make sure that when we're serving, we serve for the right reason. What's the right reason? We want to do it for him, not for others. You hear what I'm saying? I wrote this down in my notes. How can we determine if we're serving for the right reason? We can determine that by if no one else gives us an applause, we don't get all bummed out and say, nobody appreciated what I did. Nobody sent me a card in the mail. Nobody called. Nobody patted me on the back. And we want to be that group of people. But how many people know we're not doing it for others? We're doing it for an audience of what? One. We're doing it for God. We're saying, Lord, thank you for all that you've done for me. If no one else ever notices, no one else sends me a note of appreciation, God, I'm doing this because look at what you've done for me. I can't just help but keep this in. I got to let it out. I got to give. Isn't this good this morning? Everybody said, kind of, okay? Number three, when you serve, I want to make this so clear to you. When you serve for the right reason, it's a win-win. How many people like to be a part of a win-win situation? I do. I love when two sides can both win. I don't like win-lose or lose-lose, but I love a win-win. And this is what I want to say to you this morning. I believe that when you serve other people, they win. But I believe the biggest winner when you serve is who? You. You're going to get the most out of it. You're going to get the most joy. You're going to get the most satisfaction. If you're doing it for the right reason, you're going to find out, wow, God, I thought that was about making their life better. And God's saying, hey, yeah, when you grow up and you do things my way, it's amazing the joy I deposit in your life and the greatness that comes into your life. Amen? For example, we're asking you to go on a missions trip. We're making a missions trip available in January. And we're going to go to Honduras, and we're going to build a church. And by the way, the deadline is next week. We're going to have a meeting. Down payments need to start coming in next Sunday. Dan will be back. This is what I want to say. There's a lot of people that are thinking, well, that missions trip is really about those people in Honduras. There's a group of people that are Christians, but they don't have a building to meet in. We're going to bless them. And yes, we are going to bless them. But I guarantee you, when you go down there and you begin to serve, and you begin to get dirty, and when you begin to get sweaty, and when you begin to smell, and when you begin to reach out to people, guess who's going to receive the greatest blessing? The people of Honduras, yes, but also the person that's involved and left and used vacation time, used their earnings to go and to serve. You'll be amazed how closer to Jesus you feel when you come back. You'll be like, wow, Lord. It was fun to be a part of the 70. I feel closer because I went on that trip. See, another example for me, every Wednesday night is a great example. Every Wednesday night, we have kids come into the building, and every Wednesday night, get the joy of picking kids up in the van, getting the joy of sitting down at dinner tables with little kids. And I tell you what, I want to let you know, I wouldn't pass that up for nothing. 95% of the Wednesday nights, I would rather be nowhere else but here. Because you know what happens when you pick up kids in the van and you hear little kid conversations, some that I can't repeat in this audience. You know what I'm talking about? And you hear those things and you hear the laughter and you hear the joy and you go to dinner and you see people eating and having a great time. You think it's about those kids? Yes, it's about those kids. But I tell you what, it's the highlight of my week. It's the energy that comes into my life. It's like my battery's being recharged. It's just as much, I get a lot out of reading the scriptures and prayer. But I tell you what, when you serve, when you step out and say, Jesus, you saved me. You saved my family. You've done so much for me. And Jesus, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to be a part of your team and a part of your work. And you can use me to be involved. I tell you what, it's amazing what comes back into your life when you say, Jesus, I want to be a part of the 70. I want to be used by you. Lord, you can count on me. I'm in. I'll serve. I'll do what people may never see. I'll give. Lord, count on me. I want to be a part of the 70. So my question to you this morning is, will you take the step out of being a part of the crowd? Will you take a step out of being a part of the 5,000 where it's all about you getting, getting, getting? And that's good. That's the God we serve. He's a giving God. But will there be a day when you step up and say, Lord, I'm ready to move out of the getting stage, and I'm ready to move into a level of maturity, and I'm ready to move into places where I want to begin to serve. I want to begin to make a difference. I want to be a light in darkness. I want to be a salt in the world of decay. God, I want to be there. I want to be there. So let's just bow our heads this morning. I want to close in an unusual way this morning. I want you to begin to imagine, daydream, according to what I'm saying here, of course. Imagine with me what kind of impact that you would have on your world, your family, the people you work with, your sphere of influence. Imagine what kind of impact you would have on your world if you would move in your relationship from being an observer to being a participant. Imagine what would happen in your world and the people around you if your relationship with Jesus moved from getting, 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 to what now Jesus is saying, hey, I want to use you to give. Give to that person. Give to that person. Give to this group. I want to let you know your life would see what? Fulfillment and joy. And you would see God do amazing things. One other area I want you to imagine is imagine what kind of impact this church, Journey Church, would have locally and globally if we as a church as a whole would move from observation to participation. Imagine what it would look like if a group of people said, you know what, Lord, you have given us so much. How many people know God has given this church a lot? Amen? Man, we stand in buildings debt-free. We stand just... We are so blessed. What would it look like if we say, okay, God, we have received, now we want to give. We want to be more giving. We want to give to the needs locally and globally. And I just really believe that this is kind of in the six circles that we're going to be talking about. I really believe this is the circle where our church is at right now, where God is calling us as a whole, calling you as an individual to move from the crowds, to move from the 5,000, to move from always getting, to now you're ready to move out for Jesus, and you're ready to begin to give. And your giving is going to change people's lives. It's going to make an impact. Amen? So let's pray this morning. Let's just pray here. I just believe God just wants to stir our hearts this morning. I don't want everybody to stand here. I just want to make that clear from the beginning. I don't want everybody to stand, but if you really feel like today something God has given you in a regain moment, a light's come on, and right now you really believe that God's calling you, saying, hey, he's talking to you. I want you to stand right now if you feel like God's saying he's talking to you. Anyone? Where he's calling you to move out. He's been so good, but he's just calling you just to say, hey, it's time to move into a new dimension. Anyone else? Yes, Lord, just speak to us, Lord. Speak to us, Lord. Call us closer, Lord, as we serve you. Call us closer, Lord, as we serve you. You may be seated. Let's all stand together. I believe this is an individual message, but I also believe it's a corporate message for our whole church. Our whole church. The harvest is great. There's all kind of needs. There's all kind of hurting people out there. They live not only overseas. They live right down the street. They live on your street. They live live on my street. The harvest is great, but Jesus is looking for workers, laborers. People will take the step into ministry. People will take the step into saying, God, count on me. I want to be used. I want to be used by you. So, Lord, I just pray that this would be a church that's stepping into greater territory. God, that we're being more aggressive in stepping out and finding kids on Wednesday night to come. We're stepping out and asking people to come to church. God, we want to step into new territory as a church. And Lord, we're not even going to ask for anything else. We're not going to ask for you to do more because you've done everything, Lord. We're just asking, God, can we do more? We're asking, God, can you use us? We're available. Use us, God, I pray. Use us, God, I pray. May this be a church that's just increasing our level of influence, our level of reaching and growing the crowd who's coming to Christ. God, I just pray that you do great things through this church. We want to step in with you, Jesus. We want to step closer with you. Yeah.